This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Try This at Home, which is a series that focuses on new skills and activities to try while we're safe at home during these times. I'm Lee Chui Lin. Now, today we'll be talking about something that's always been, one of the things that I secretly hope to be good at, namely arts and crafts. More specifically, in the first half of the show, we'll be focusing on learning to draw and sketch. And then in the second, we'll be talking about crafts that are friendly for both kids and adults. And just looking at my own life as a kid, I think I wasted lots and lots of paper and tape and paint trying to make different craft projects, never fully able to accept that I was maybe just not a very crafty person. Scissors were not my friend, and with colouring books and painting projects, I always pressed too hard. I had no sense of subtlety and shade. So arts and crafts was always a frustrating experience. And as an adult, that's changed a little bit, though I still wish I was better at it. And with a lot of us at home at the moment, perhaps interested in being able to make something beautiful or fulfilling, it might be a good time to pick up watercolours or working with clay. Or, without needing to leave your home, perhaps now's the time to learn to draw. If you've ever had any questions about picking that up, you can, of course, WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio, because joining me on the line to give us an over-the-phone class of sorts is Jason Chan, animator at Kurechi, which is a gaming studio in Cyberjaya. Jason, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for speaking to me.
Okay, first of all, how are you and what have you been up to over this three-week period?
Actually, I feel good, you know, because I'm still working from home. You know, I still have my studio work that I have to work on 8 hours a day from Monday to Friday. And, you know, the great thing is I don't have to deal with traffic anymore at the moment. So I think, like most people now, you know, we also have, like, a lot of extra time, so... You know, I just try to like do something that I normally don't really do, like cooking. Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are spending time in the kitchen at the moment. So coming back to, I guess, what we're talking about today, drawing, when did you first learn how to draw?
I started drawing constantly about at the age of 7. You know, that's when I discovered like Ninja Turtles and Dragon Ball comic. Yeah, then I haven't stopped since then, you know. Went on to college, and my job as an animator requires me to draw every day until now.
And when you first started drawing, how did you learn? I mean, was it something that you picked up via tracing, or did you actually, how did it happen for you?
Mostly it's done by copying, poorly, but, you know, it's still copying. I like all 4 Ninja Turtles, so every day I would just draw them. And back in the day, there's no internet to look for references. All I had to do was just, like, pause, you know, like a VHS recording and just look at what's on the TV and just draw from there.
And how did you get better at it? So if you began by copying, how did you progress to drawing your own stuff?
Progressing, over time, as when I just keep drawing, there are things that I start to discover that I want to improve on, like, you know, I can't draw hands very well, and I will just keep drawing hands. Of course, like, if I'm drawing body parts like hands and feet and all this, you know, the best reference is really myself. So I'll just really, like, study from there, you know. That those are my closest references that I can work on.
Mm.
Yeah, so, like, most of, I think if we were to talk about, like, more advanced studies, then I think most of it I picked up through my years in college, and also some, and over the time, like, you know, whatever I could find on the internet. You know, there's so many great artists that we can find on the internet these days.
Is drawing specifically something that you think most people can do, or is it a very specific skill?
No, I believe everyone can draw. It just depends on, like, what level do you hope to reach, and what the purpose, what are the drawings for. Because I actually joined this sketching community called the Urban Sketchers. So what they do is, like, they gather and meet up. Now we can't do that, but we gather and meet up on, like, every weekend to, like, sketch different locations, places, or even objects if we don't have any like new places to sketch. So, and these, from just this community, I've seen there are many types of people from all types of profession and background, and some are even like just housewives, accountants. They don't have any knowledge in drawing, but from this, you know, they just pick it up and they start to like just practice and also learn from each other. So, yeah, I don't think it's a very specific skill that you have to be professionally trained to be able to do.
And I think I asked that because when I was a kid, you know, and also wanting to learn to draw based off of, say, Archie Comics or Doraemon, things like that, I found that it felt almost as if my hand is not listening to my brain in terms of what I wanted it to do. So for people who are interested in learning to draw, in picking up that skill or getting better at it, what are the basics to master? How can we start?
It depends on, you know, like whether you are a child and an adult, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like as a child, like we will definitely draw everything that we like, mostly in entertainment, right? Cartoon characters and all. That's the easiest way to like start, just draw your favorite characters. But as someone who's already, you know, like adults like us like that, you know, we actually have more fear to begin something new like drawing, right? So I would actually suggest, you know, like what do you want to achieve? You know, like some people like probably draw for journaling. Like maybe they just want to record things, whatever happens day to day, like especially maybe like in currently now in during MCO now, you know, like everyone's like learning how to cook, everyone's, you know, posting like all these like amazing pictures and videos of their cooking. So some people can actually be, maybe start off with, you know, just sketch what the food that you've cooked.
Mm.
Small objects. I would consider these are like small objects. So I would always suggest people to start off like sketching smaller objects or maybe like some small objects with simple shapes. Then only you slowly move up to like more complex subject matter.
And then from there, is it just a question of practice making perfect where you just need to kind of keep at it?
Yeah, definitely. Because like when just now you mentioned that, you know, like your hand is not producing what your mind sees, right? So like that is all muscle memory. You know, we have to like keep on practicing. And because what you see with your eyes and your mind is actually perfect. It's just that your hand is just not getting that information accurately because, you know, due to lack of practice. Even to start off with sketching, you know, learn how to sketch like small objects as you go on. Of course, at the side, like, you know, if you feel that there are things that you're not so good at, as like if you're drawing people, you know, like anatomy to work on or like shapes and form, this kind of things. Like these are things like the fundamentals. It's like, let's put it in the way that when someone goes to the gym to work out, like you have arm day, leg day, you know, and so on. So there are all these things that you need to like over the time, you just identify and like just work on it bit by bit.
So when it comes to materials, do you have any particular favorites? Do you like, do you favor pencils, pens? What do you prefer?
At the moment, I use mostly fountain pens and watercolor. But just for sketching, I always start off with any kind of pencil. I don't really have like really specific brands and whatnot. Because like for me, as long as I have a pencil and a pen and my watercolors, then you know, you're set. But if we would like to talk about like something like really basic, you know, like you're starting from scratch, a pencil or a ballpoint pen that I'm sure everybody has one at home, that's enough to start off with.
And could you take us through some ideas around, I guess, definition and shading, specifically in terms of what you might be using, what you might be trying to achieve? How can people get there?
It's hard to say because like it depends on like, you know, like what level of finishing that I'm trying to do. Mm. If I'm really sketching something really rough, like let's say if I'm just like doing something rough on my sketchbook right now, like I am into like houseplants. So today, you know, I thought like I feel like one of my plants is looking really great. So like I just want to like kind of like record that down in my sketchbook. It's like a journaling process. So I'll just do like really rough sketch and I'll just probably just do like, you know, the lighting and shading. I won't be too detailed on that. I guess this is also like if we go back to like fundamentals, like if you work on the fundamentals, like I think earlier I mentioned like shapes and form, then you will start to understand like how to apply these shadings. So technically, I don't really have like a very strong advice on that.
It's more about mastering the fundamentals.
Yeah. It's always like, you know, just go back to the fundamentals. Like, if I were to sketch something, like, just not, I just said, like, something really, like, quick, you know, really a rough sketch, I would actually just cheat the lighting and shading, because nobody's going to correct you on that.
Yeah, that's fair enough. And then the other thing, I guess, for people who are learning at home is that you might get disheartened when you can't seem to get it right, or when boredom starts to creep into the daily practice, or if you don't see yourself improving. What advice would you have when people do hit that roadblock?
So, like, if you are starting off from zero, that will definitely happen. We shouldn't be discouraged by it. Let's take riding a bicycle, for example. Most people won't be able to ride a bicycle immediately without falling on the first try. I know some people can, but most people won't be able to do that. That's why, again, like, you know, I'm going to, like, sound like a broken record, because consistent practice is always the key. If I will try to draw something again and again until I can master it, it gets boring, but it works. It's like, if, again, like, someone goes to the gym, you know, like, they want to like, work on, you know, like, their arms, you know, you have to, like, constantly work on the arms until it gets to that shape that you want it to be. As you constantly practice, you know, as you progress along, you will find that the struggle will reduce greatly. So definitely in the beginning, you will feel that way, but I would suggest not to do so, because I think the most important thing is, like, are you enjoying the process first? Yeah.
Jason, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thank you.
That was Jason Chan, animator at Kurechi, a gaming studio in Cyberjaya, taking us through drawing, you know, something that you might want to be picking up at home. After this, we're going to be moving on to crafts that can be done. Keep it here on Try This at Home, BFM 89.9.
Break from monotony, BFM 89.9.
Good afternoon. You are listening to Try This at Home, which is our brand new series focused on new skills and activities that you can pick up while at home during this MCO period. I'm Lee Chui Lin. So earlier we heard from Jason Chan, animator at Kurechi, on the subject of learning to sketch at home. And now, in, you know, continuing our art theme, I suppose, we're focusing on arts and crafts, emphasis on the latter, especially in terms of what you can make with what you have at home at the moment. So if you have any questions or thoughts, you can send them through WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining me on the line to talk about this is Sheena Mo, co-founder of Atom and the Dot, whose mission is to make learning as, you know, fun play through art and science activities. Sheena, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
So firstly, we're just checking in and asking everyone this question, really. How are you doing throughout this MCO and during this time?
We're keeping super busy. So my partner and I are actually working out of my house, because even though a lot of our bigger projects, workshops, party packs are on hold because of the MCO, we are still staying open so we can send out activity boxes to the parents who need to keep their kids entertained at home.
And on your, you know, in terms of what you've been up to, have there been any craft projects that you've been working on that you're particularly pleased about, that you're like, yeah, this I could do this because I had the time?
So I recently made a glow-in-the-dark city. Okay, no, it's, I mean, it sounds cooler than it is. So what it is actually pop-up houses and buildings made out of paper, which I then decorated with neon pens and highlighters. So what makes it glow is my so-called secret ingredient. It's a blacklight filter that we made out of Sharpies and some plastic sheets. When you put it on the flashlight, you can actually make, it's sort of like a UV light, so it makes the whole city, all the neon colours glow.
Oh, that's awesome. I mean, how did you come up with that idea? And also, how do I was going to say steal it, but how do I do it at home?
It's super simple. So we came up with it because we were looking at creating activities for light and shadow and fluorescence for kids. And all kids love glow-in-the-dark stuff, right? So that's how we started off with this project. All you need really is any neon-colored pens, highlighters you always have lying around. Just color it on some paper. Highlighters that work best are probably like the yellows and the greens. Avoid the blues because that washes out with the UV light. And then so after you've decorated it, you can also have, you know, the fluorescent stickers that you can purchase. in all the different shapes, you can also use that. And then with that, just shine that black light filter on it, and it will start to glow. It's pretty cool.
So, you know, when people ask you about crafts, generally speaking, are they usually thinking about projects for adults or for kids?
For kids. But that could just be because of the people that we surround ourselves with. So lots of parents, parents don't have much time for anything else than their kids nowadays. So they're always looking for projects to keep their kids occupied. A lot of our activities are actually science-based. Those are fun, but to really keep your kids occupied for a longer duration of time, we fall back on the arts and crafts projects.
So, okay, before we deep dive a little more into the projects that are for kids, for the adults, I suppose, who are looking to fill some time, make some things at the moment, who aren't necessarily parents, how would you suggest they start? What are some easy crafts that even beginners can do?
I think during this MCO, a lot of the parents are probably, or a lot of the people are probably clearing their cabinets and spring cleaning a little bit. So if they had like old t-shirts that they found lying around or old tote bags, which they want to upcycle and kind of refresh the look of, they can try a chromatography project, which we love. It's super simple. And the reason why I love it is because the outcome is a little bit foolproof. You can't get it too wrong. So what essentially chromatography is, it creates this tie-dye effect. So all you need is, say, Sharpies and a little bit of rubbing alcohol, which you can get from any pharmacy. Those are still open during the MCO. So what you do with the Sharpies is you just create little dots or lines on your T-shirt or on your tote bags, drip some rubbing alcohol on it, and then you'll see the color start to spread. So this spreading of color is really quite cool. It depends on what colors you use. So for example, if you use a purple, you would probably see different shades of blues and reds. If you try greens, you'll probably see yellows and blues. But then the really cool one is what happens if you try black. So you would probably think that you'll get black, but I think you'll be surprised with the outcome.
And is this color fast after it's done?
Yes, the color stays because, so if you use Sharpies, those are permanent markers, the color will stay on the shirt, it won't run.
Nice. And, you know, something that occurred to me, when I was a kid, I think my parents weren't necessarily the most encouraging in terms of arts and crafts. I think they thought I was wasting their tape and their paper. They weren't wrong. I mean, I didn't make anything great, but still. And now when I look at my my friends who are parents, it seems as if there can be a lot of pressure actually to do projects with your kids, especially during this time, to keep them occupied, to make sure they're learning. And I do think that that is a lot of pressure to place on people who might still be working from home anyway. What advice, I guess, would you have for people to cope with this?
Google is your best friend. There are lots of resources online. There are lots of simple activities online. So start with anything. Actually, start small. Start with simple things that are less likely to go wrong. So activities that you can get the materials from your kitchen, those are simple enough. Any chemical reaction type of experiment is quite simple and the outcome is quite foolproof. So for example, I'm sure you've seen those where they mix baking soda and vinegar. So we use this to explain to the kids how to identify a chemical reaction. So when you see the gas bubbles start to come up, that's a chemical reaction happening. And also the kids like it because, you know, things are fizzing and bubbling. So that's a simple one that you can try. And because it's foolproof versus things like if you try simple machine, if you try to make, we have a dancing dragon project where you use a cardboard and you have a little dragon on top and you try to make it move with some wheels. So this one would be more complicated and it would require a lot of tinkering. So then the parents would probably feel a little bit disheartened if it doesn't work. So start small and start simple.
And what advice would you have also for people in terms of picking the craft project that's right for you and your family? Because I think that off the top of my head, I would imagine that people have different levels of tolerance, for example, for mess and things like that. So how do you decide what's good for you?
Always pick something that you are interested in or your child is interested in. So for example, personally, I like colors, and that's because I can't draw. So I like to color, and I like to play with things that don't require a very, very finished outcome. So I like to play with things like wax resist art. That's basically where you use crayons, and then you color the subject, or you outline the subject, and then you paint over it. And then it always, it's sort of like batik art, right? It always turns out quite all right. So it's find something that you're interested in. So for example, my partner on the other hand, she loves pointillism art. So that's where you use tiny little dots to create an art piece. So if I were to do that, I think I would drive myself crazy. I don't have the level of patience for it. So find something that your kids enjoy, that you enjoy, and, you know, work from there.
And what kind of supplies do you need at home in order to be a half-decent crafter, or in order to be able to do the projects that you do find on Google, for example?
Usually what you need is you need some form of colours. So if you have paints, crayons, food colouring, markers, if you have all these colours offhand, that's good. You also need some form of paper. So it could be art block, it could be white cards, it could be just A4 paper, that works too. And then the scissors, for adults, if you have X-Acto knives, that's quite good. But for kids, just scissors will do. And then, of course, tape. So we're big fans of blue tack because I'm not sure if you're familiar with blue tack, but it's sort of like that squishy, sticky thing, a little bit like Play-Doh. Mm-hmm. So you can stick on it and then it's easily removable. So then if you make a mistake, then you can, you know, just move it around and then remove it if it's required. I'm also a big fan of acrylic tape. So this is great for adults, I think. It's sort of like a double-sided tape, and it's very sticky. It comes off very easily. It doesn't peel the paper or the surface that it's on. So that's quite a nice material.
And if you do have your tools at hand, I suppose, then what kind of projects would you be able to do right now at home with everyday items, since a lot of us can't go to stores or might not be willing to make an extra stop anywhere just to get these items?
Depends. If you're doing it with your kid, I think food art is always fun. So lots of parents are actually heading to the kitchen nowadays, turning into master chefs of their own. So food art is fun. What we've done once is there was a gingerbread man project that we did for Christmas. So the kids can actually help to melt the chocolate chips and then decorate their gingerbread man with like different candies and all that. So we use this to explain melting points to children. The other one that's fun for kids is homemade Play-Doh. So again, the materials are available in the kitchen. So all you need is just basically flour, a bit of salt, cream of tartar, stuff that you use for baking. Yeah. For adults, I think wax resist projects are always fun and simple. So as long as you have some crayons, or if you don't have crayons for adults, you can also use wax from candles. And then just some paints, and that you're good to go.
So some materials, I guess, are more durable than others. I remember, going back to my relatively craft-free childhood and learning that Play-Doh was not the same as the kind of clay that you could bake and it would harden and so on. So are there some durable materials that are particular favourites of yours to work with?
I'm not big on durability because we deal with kids. So the materials we use are usually more flexible. So for instance, like cardboard is quite a durable material for some of the craft projects, but it's difficult for kids to work with because they're harder to bend, harder to cut, and they're a bit sharp on the edges. So we tend to fall back on things like art blocks and cards. But then we also like to work with unconventional material just to keep the kids, keep things interesting for the kids. So we like to use things like cotton buds, cotton balls, sponges, instead of paintbrushes, so that, you know, they can create different textures and they can also try different sorts of materials.
And are there colourings and dyes that can be made at home which are free of toxins and things like that, which I think people would be particular about, especially when working with kids?
Yes. So you can make your own paints. It's relatively simple. All you need is half a cup of flour, half a cup of salt, half a cup of water. Mix it and then add some food colouring, whichever colour that you like. And yeah, basically you have paint.
Mm.
There are of course some downsides to this. It's safe and toxic free, but then it's also a bit grainy when you paint over it. So not as smooth as the paints that you would purchase outside. We are also fans of food coloring, so that's easy, that you know, non-toxic again. But then the downside is that it stains your hands. So you are going to have kids with blue color fingers for a while.
Well, since you're not seeing anybody else for a little bit, I think for people it might be okay.
Yeah.
What are easy materials or projects to clean up? Because I think that's the other thing, right? Like, while you might want to be able to occupy your kids and have them playing and have them have fun, you also want to make sure that it is easy to clean up. And I know something like glitter, for example, you'll be finding it, I don't know, you know, when at the end of time, you're still going to find glitter in odd places.
Yes, glitter is the worst. When we use glitter, we try to use glitter glue. So then at least it's all contained. but then so materials that are washable are always good. So paints that are water-based, markers that are water-based are good. But if you have to use the material, then what we sometimes do is we use alcohol wipes to wipe things down. So that cleans it up quite quickly. The other thing is we always lay mahjong paper or newspaper on the surface before we start. Our favorite so far is we created a Jackson Pollock action painting in a box. So the kids put the art block in the box, they sprayed the paint inside, they used different materials to create their effect, things like marble, so they can close the box and shake it around and the marble will create their effect. And then all of it is contained in the box, so totally mess-free, nothing to clean up except their fingers.
Nice. And in general, in terms of using materials that are recyclable, I mean, you mentioned there things like newspapers and boxes, which of course you're reusing. Can you walk us through some tips there?
What we tend to do is recycle. So we like upcycle projects where you use T-shirts and stuff that you can just repurpose. We've also done projects where you use candy wrappers and junk food wrappers that turn into pouches. So you just add a little Ziploc on top or a zip on top, and then you can turn these into pouches because these wrappers, they last forever. And yeah, we like using egg cartons as pallets instead of purchasing the paint pallets. And also, if you have magnets lying around, those are great. You can turn like your little boxes into shelves. Just stick the magnets behind them and then you can put this on your shelf, on your fridge.
You mentioned earlier that at the moment you are still pretty busy because you've been sending out craft projects and, you know, just kind of putting things together. Craft kits, I think you mentioned. So what are some of the more popular ones? What are some projects that you've seen kids enjoy in particular?
Circuit-related ones are always popular. So parents love to teach their kids about electricity. And then when the things light up, the kids absolutely love it. So one of the very popular ones is what we call squishy circuits. It's basically, it's like homemade Play-Doh, but you make salt dough and then you make sugar dough. And then with this, you can kind of create all sorts of different shapes. We make a little monster and then we stick LEDs on top of it and then make it light up. So that's a really cool and safe way to teach kids about circuits, and it's also very fun. Yeah, the other one that is very popular is anything related to energy and making things fly across the room. Kids love that. So we made a paper plane with a twist. What we did was we added a rubber band to sort of slingshot this paper plane across the room. So that's always very popular with kids.
And finally, Sheena, in closing, what advice would you have for parents to manage their own expectations as well as their kids' expectations when a project maybe doesn't turn out exactly as expected or as perfect as they'd hoped for?
So this is really common. It's more common than we expected. And I think, especially when you're trying things online, a lot of them make it sound like it's really simple. You look at the video and it's like, oh, this should work. And then 9 out of 10 times it doesn't. So I think what is important for the parents to understand and parents to communicate to their kids is that it is the norm for it not to work out. So recently we had a workshop where we did a dancing dragon project, And obviously, this requires a lot of tinkering, and there's a lot of room for failure. And for those kids where the outcome was not as perfect as they expected, they were devastated. Okay, so again, I think it's important to kind of manage their expectations going in, that, okay, their chances are it might not work, but that's okay. And then just sit with them and tinker and try to test things out to see whether they can slowly and gradually improve it. And if your child has that has a tendency to have that kind of a strong reaction, you might want to like try more of these kinds of projects where the outcome is not so fixed. Yeah, so it's a more open-ended outcome. So just let them get into the habit of tinkering and understanding that, you know, things get better while you tweak it. It's not expected outcome that, you know, it works the first time.
Sheena, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
You just heard there from Sheena Moe, who's the co-founder of Atom and the Dot. Their mission is to make learning as fun play through art and science activities. And we've been talking today, of course, on Try This at Home about arts and crafts. If you have any questions or thoughts, what craft projects have you been up to yourself? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.